Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Screen Geeks Radio. This is Dave. Barry is off this week. He's out in L.A., I don't know, breaking what laws with his brother Marty, having a grand old time. But sitting here in studio with me, I have my good friend Nate.
How you guys doing?
And why don't you tell us what, like, you're going to school for what now and where?
Give us that really quick. I'm going to school for film up in Aurora. Yeah, definitely going. It's called the Colorado School of Film. Yeah, it's interesting, but pretty tight. Learning a lot.
Cool.
I love it.
Right on. And then joining us via Skype, gracious enough to join us again, is the great Chris Stipp from Quick Stop Entertainment.
What is happening?
Not much, sir. Yeah, well, thanks for coming aboard. Especially since I asked you like 2 days ago.
Yeah, no doubt. But, you know, that's how I roll, you know, last minute. I have no problem with that.
Sweet. Well, hopefully we'll do a little more notice next time. But, yeah. So I'm pulling all of the duties as to what's coming out and all that stuff, and we'll just talk about it. Coming out this past weekend, we've got 21, Run, Fat Boy, Run, the Ryan Phillippe opus that is Stop Loss, and then the craptastic superhero movie. So, yeah. Do you have any interest in seeing 21 at all, Chris?
You know, I do because I interviewed one of the guys from the film, and I think before the movie came out, I really had kind of a marginal interest. But after talking to him and finding out what this movie was all about, you know, I think this could be something that I might demur and not see in the theater. Maybe just see maybe when it comes out on DVD.
Gotcha.
It just seems like from the guy's book, gentleman who wrote it. It just seems like a watered down version of that. So I might just wait for this one until it comes out on DVD.
Okay. I think a lot of it depends on if, like, you're a gambling type person.
Absolutely.
Like, I know Nate and I play poker occasionally, and I don't know. It's like a kryptonite or something. There's gambling, I'll see it. Although I did dodge Lucky You, fortunately.
Oh, good for you. Good for
you. And then Run, Fat Boy, Run. I know you're planning on seeing Chris.
Oh yes, it looks fabulous, absolutely fabulous.
And I've talked about it plenty. I know Nate finally saw it.
Yes.
Or finally, it came out yesterday. So what did you think, sir?
I loved it. It was so cliche, but it was so well done at the same time. No qualms with it. So
yeah. Sweet. Yeah, it is a by the numbers romantic comedy.
Yeah, they don't step outside the line at all.
Well, except for the blister joke.
Oh, the blister joke, true.
And the man crack.
Oh, yeah, twice.
Yes, but I, you know, there is one thing I have to bring up that was incorrect when I talked about it last week. I talked about, like, Simon Pegg as if he'd been deeply involved in writing it. After reading a review with Michael Ian Black over at Ain't It Cool, I have to make a correction. The script is almost entirely Black's stuff. But Simon Pegg just rewrote, did some tweaks to it here and there, added a little bit of his humor to it, and just transposed it to London. So
yeah,
beyond that,
off, then.
Yeah, like I said, I hate Tandy Newton, but she was good in this.
She was good. I did like her a lot.
Yeah, in Hank Azaria. He starts off as the nice guy.
Yeah, he does. A little bit of a weirdo, but, you know, he definitely came through in the end.
Yes. Yes. Okay.
It was directed by, this was David Schwimmer's deal.
Yeah, which honestly scared me initially.
Really? I think it did for me too.
Well, the pallbearer.
Oh, mm-hmm. True. Yeah.
And honestly, I mean, success for the actors of Friends post TV show has been hit and miss.
Yeah,
mostly miss.
Yes, Matthew Perry has pretty much dropped off the map. I don't know what happened with him. Courtney Cox is doing her thing. Lisa Kudrow's kind of gone.
Jennifer Aniston's still in the game.
Yes.
Yeah. But David Schwimmer's trying.
Yeah, and you know what? Honestly, I mean, this isn't like going to make me say I must see every Schwimmer movie ever, but I'll definitely take notice if it's something he's directed.
Because
I think he definitely know how to keep the film very organic to what it needed to be. And if those cliches didn't feel organic, I was going to hate that movie.
It was so greatly predictable.
Yes, gloriously so. Let's move on to the DVDs this week. There's a whole two of them. There's a really, really cool one, and then there's Alvin and the Chipmunks. So, the good one is going to be Sweeney Todd, the Demon Barber of Fleet Street. There's going to be a one-disc and a two-disc hitting on Tuesday. I know you're going to buy the two-disc.
Oh, absolutely. The day it comes out. Are you kidding me?
I haven't seen it, so I will finally get a chance to see
really?
It.
Really? There's blood. There's a lot of blood.
Yeah. Nice. Did you get a chance to see Sweeney Todd? Chris?
You know what? I was going to say, no, I haven't, and I'm curious to know what is it. Does it walk sort of the musical kind of line, or is it sort of the more Tim Burton style over substance?
Oh, it is absolutely a musical line.
Really?
It sticks true to that. You can definitely tell it's Tim Burton. I mean, it looks like Edward Scissorhands a little bit, you know, but it definitely sticks true to a typical musical. Without the blood.
Just a lot more blood in the movie.
A hell of a lot more blood. Kill Bill the musical, maybe.
Okay, so now I'm intrigued.
There you go.
As if I wasn't with, you know, Johnny Depp doing a musical before, but yeah, yeah. So, okay, cool. Let's move into some news. I want to, like, talk with Chris about something that's not technically a giant news story, but the Dentmobile came through our town. I know it came through Chris's town. And actually, Nate went to the Dentmobile thing with me here, too.
That was cool.
What did you think of it overall, Chris?
You know, I wrote about this for one of my columns last week at Quick Stop Entertainment, and I had to, not only did I have to go because this is, you know, having everything to do with the Batman thing, and, you know, there's certain things that sort of, you know, create that sense of geekiness in me that I'm like, ooh, I just have to indulge myself into seeing this. But when you take a step back from it, you see that this is a marketing campaign that has played it really straight. I mean, literally, very straight. As I made mention in my column too, that there was never once anyone saying, "Go see The Dark Knight in July." There was no talk of Batman. There was no talk of the Joker. There was no talk of anything. They were just. It was a rally for this fictitious Harvey Dent, and it was one of those experiences where you didn't understand what was kind of going on if you were just a bystander, but if you were in it, it was just a totally immersive experience.
Did you get a chance to check out the video I put up?
I did not. Did you actually put up a video?
I did, and I posted it to IBelieveInHarveyDent.com, which we'll get to some results of that in a second, but we actually had a guy who, they handed him one of the wall clings. He's like, that looks like that guy from that one movie. And the girl who was like, there were two people that are running the event. She's like, oh, we all look like actors. And they did play it straight. He's like, no, thank you for smoking. What? Thank you for smoking. The other guy's like, I never heard of it, man. I don't know what you're talking about.
That's Harvey Dent. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it was very cool. I'm kind of surprised they did it that way. It came off almost like a grassroots, like Barack Obama type thing, like you see.
Yeah, for real.
Like we had all kinds of people saying, like, I don't live here. And they're getting out of the car with the Colorado license plate. But yeah. One very cool thing, I posted the video up at IBelieveInHarveyDent.com as well, and I got a package in the mail yesterday that happened to have a few copies of the Gotham Times in it. And I have to say, they really did a good job with this.
It looks so real.
Scary. Here's my question with the thing, and I know this has been a lot of talk about this as well. Do you think this is a little too viral of marketing? Or is it, do you think it's going to be Dark Knight comes out and people go see it? Oh, that's what that was.
I think it could go both ways. One of the things that I think this a great lesson that can be learned, at least, I mean, you could actually make this a case study for any kind of marketing period. You just have to just respect and love and revere Warner Brothers for just taking this kind of approach. They're not trying to overtly be viral like Snakes on a Plane was trying to be and failed to be. This campaign is working because it's playing it so straight to, you know, straight to the core of what, you know, a lot of people, you know, who are involved with it and who are doing, who are showing up to these rallies, who are doing all these, you know, tricks with the Joker games and what have you. You know, people, I think, you know, diehard fanboys, at the very least, will appreciate it. Do I think it's going to pay off in great box office success? No, I don't think so, because they're only speaking to the diehards anyway. But you just have to appreciate it from a standpoint that, you know what, they can do no wrong at this point.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, it's just been a brilliant thought that somebody had in their head to do this, and it's working out great.
And I think part of it is that it's not a typical viral marketing in that they're trying to get the word out about this movie. They're really trying to energize their fan base.
It's like the David Lynch Inland Empire approach, taking the cow out, you know? Sort of the same type of thing. Now,
yeah.
Your typical, typical promotion.
Yeah, people are going to be like, what the heck? But if it's someone who knows what's going on, oh my gosh, this
Absolutely,
is awesome.
Yeah.
It's almost like this is like viral marketing aimed straight at the fanboys, which I don't know how this will end up coming out. And, you know, like you said, this very well could be a case study, because who knows if this was a good use of the money or not. that's kind of like the question that the $64,000 question.
But you know what? If you look at it from this standpoint, let's say if they take the money they would have spent on a 20-second commercial, you know, on primetime television and applied it to this, I could almost guarantee you they haven't spent that kind of money if you actually ratio it out like that. I mean, how much did it cost for, you know, when I went here in Arizona, I had two guys who drove from California, no doubt from Los Angeles, you know, that were coming out this way. I mean, how much would it cost to hire a couple guys to come out for a few hours, hand out free shit, and, you know, go back and, you know, just go back to headquarters? I mean, how much, you know, at the end of the day, how much, you know, could that have cost? How much do these online games cost? You know, when you compare it to what advertising and what, you know, hardcore kind of real marketing would have cost, I think it's just a drop in the bucket.
That's a very good point. And I mean, I love the promotional materials, but they even have it on the site. You can print out every single thing they gave away, just not on the cardstock in a button format, anything like that. So yeah, I absolutely agree. Yeah, overall, I love it. I absolutely adore it. I can't wait for the next stage.
Yeah.
Because apparently there is a next stage.
Nice. Really?
That's what I'm hearing, but I'm not, I wouldn't like put money in the bank on it or anything. But yeah, interesting stuff. So okay, let's move on to a little bit of other news. We had to talk about it because all of us went. It's freaking cool. Have you seen the X-Files 2 poster, Chris?
No, I have not.
It's not going to blow your socks off, but you know, if you're looking forward to the X-Files, you're like, ooh, it's coming.
You know what? I don't say this. I never ever watched the show, but I did go see the movie, and I loved the movie. You know, it didn't make me want to go back and see the television show, but I really appreciated the first movie that came out.
I'm on the exact same level. I never watched the show, but I watched the movie and I loved it.
I kind of want to go back and check out the series somewhat, but knowing that I don't absolutely have to, it makes me, I can't wait to see this movie. Yeah. The poster is essentially Mulder and Scully standing at the bottom of the poster in a black background, but like their shadows are done negative. So, and they make the X for X-Files.
Nice.
And
nice.
It's very basic, but it's still kind of cool. And getting to cool Snake Eyes, dude. I don't know if this means anything to you, Nate, because you're significantly younger than both of us, I think.
Absolutely.
How old are you, Nate? 13? 14?
I'm 20.
So does this mean anything to you at all, really?
Or? Not a lot. I mean, it's cool that it's actually out and happening, but yeah, it didn't really hit me on an emotional level just because I wasn't really, really attached when I was younger.
Fair enough. And Chris, I'm guessing you had the same reaction I did.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. You know, and I'll say this, and I know where you're coming from, Nate. I had a great conversation with a 13-year-old cousin of my wife's, and somehow the conversation drifted into the 80s and asked me what I used to play with when I was a kid, and I said G.I. Joe, and he literally turns to me and goes, "Who's he?"
Oh, ouch.
Right. I was like, okay, this is definitely, you know, my realm and not his. And I understand, you know, and I also understand the argument on the other side of that is that I appreciated them, but I knew it was a complete marketing scheme for me to buy the toys. But regardless of that, I thought I loved the show as a kid. I loved the toys as a kid. You know, there's a certain amount of, you know, Halcyon days. You know, when I was, you know, making me reflect when I was younger, but man, does Ray Park look like he's, you know,
he's going to take some names.
They got it down. What can I say?
Absolutely. Yeah. I go back and watch G.I. Joe now, and not only is it a toy commercial, it's an army recruitment commercial.
Yeah.
I'm like, Transformers has held up a lot better relative to that. Even then, it hasn't held up that well, but. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to this. It sounds like they're going to do it the right way, and I don't know. I'm hoping it's going to be a fun time.
Well, and you know, look at the guy behind the lens. It's Steven Sommers, right?
Yeah. He can make a fun movie.
He could make a fun movie. He could make a craptastic film. No doubt everyone should be setting their expectations that this movie is going to be forgettable. You know, absolutely. I mean, I don't know anything that man's done that has made me sort of reflect on it hours after I've seen it. It is going to be pure candy from start to finish. But you know what? That's what the TV show when you were a kid was. I mean, it was, again, it was an advertisement for the toys. And as long as you go in there realizing that, I think everyone's going to be a lot better off. And, you know, certainly, you know, anyone who's in up in arms for, you know, casting choices or people not getting it physically right need to just relax a little bit and and just let, you know, the man of schlock take over.
Exactly. I will make one defense of Stephen Sommers, and oddly enough, in the movie that's widely regarded as his worst, Van Helsing, the Frankenstein monster did stick with me.
Hmm.
And I don't know why, but it did. So yeah, that's all I will say. And the Mummy movies, dude, the first two were fun.
No.
They're mindless.
Absolutely. And the same thing with Van Helsing. I mean, it was fun for what it was. It absolutely is. And I think people just need to relax a little bit.
I really think if you set your standards to like looking for something like Transformers, which, I mean, it was what it was. Giant freaking robots blowing up. G.I. Joe is going to be a bunch of guys running around shooting stuff. I mean, as long as you know what's coming, I don't know how you can be disappointed, really. You're not looking for greatness. Yeah. So, right. And if you really want to find something that's going to be crap, let's go ahead and talk about Dolph Lundgren's latest cinematic foray. Apparently, he's making a film called Command Performance. He is referring to it as Die Hard at a Rock Concert. He is writing and directing it. And apparently he's the drummer in the band, and some crazy crap goes down, and only Dolph Lundgren can save us all. Yeah, and then you're like, in a world where Dolph Lundgren is your last option, you're screwed. I mean, I just don't see this peak. Like, this could be like Ghost Rider bad.
Oh, probably.
Yeah, I just don't, I never thought of him as, you know, a director. Just saying.
But at the end of it, God love him. He's kept himself in this, in this game, regardless of whether he's direct to DVD. The man's obviously figured out a way to keep himself employed.
This is true. Granted, I mean, we're talking about, we're hitting Steven Seagal territory here pretty soon, I think. But
Mark Dacostas territory.
And then let's go ahead and talk about the other news that could be good or bad. We were talking about this briefly before the show. Apparently, the scribes behind the Pirates of the Caribbean movies are writing The Lone Ranger. Okay.
No comment.
Yeah. Well, this is like way before your time, too. Yeah. I don't know. Do you think they're actually going to put Tonto in the movie?
You know what? And, we brought this up a little bit, but I'm telling you, good luck. I'm sure we'll find some group or some minority who'll feel offended one way or another. If they try to appease it, if they try to do something completely honorable, somehow it's going to, I don't know. The show itself, when back when if you were able to watch the reruns, PC obviously was not the name of the game, and certainly the world's gone overboard with it now, but good luck. And they're looking at this as a franchise. Great, super, more power to you if you can do it.
The one thing I will say about the old show and even the cartoon was that the Lone Ranger himself was rather defendant of the American Indians. Native Americans. What? See, we're going to get hate mail just because I can't get the right term. They're screwed. They're digging a hole they cannot. Yeah, they're not going to pull out of this at all.
And obviously, they're gonna make that script. I mean, it could probably be a shell of what it used to be. Somehow it's going to be really, really tame compared to what it used to be. But still, even from the standpoint of a trilogy of, I can't see this as trilogy worthy at all.
Absolutely. Yeah, the Zorro, they pulled that off, but then again, you don't have those same stereotypes you have to worry about. I mean essentially Zorro, the worst it got was kind of Hogan's Heroes, where the cops were all idiots, where the army, the Mexican army, was a bunch of idiots. But I mean, that's about as far as you went. This one, I don't see this one being a win situation at all. All right, well, let's go ahead and take a quick break, but then we'll come back and talk about our topic. So yeah, we will be right back.
Sue Ellen Greenblatt is a real person, not an internet celebrity. So we've enlisted Billy Flynn and the Vicar to help her tell her story.
Geek Radio Daily gives me geeky news about movies, new DVD releases, even comics and gaming.
Geek Radio Daily makes me feel special.
Ah, yeah.
Womanly.
Yeah.
Okay, so the episodes are just 15 minutes, perfect for my commute or for just geeking out while I'm at the office.
Mm. All in one concise love package.
Ooh, the package, baby.
Uh-huh. And the best part is that it's a daily cast, so I'm always in the loop.
Sometimes I listen to it out of the bath, put on little outfits.
Ah!
It makes me want to invite all my friends over to show how refreshed I feel.
A slumber party, baby.
What? That's not what I said.
Get out the
chocolate mousse.
Duct tape.
Oh, get out of here, you freaks.
Geek Radio Daily. One 15-minute podcast provides 15% of the USDA recommended daily allowance of geeky goodness. Subscribe through iTunes or visit geekradiodaily.com.
All right, welcome back. This week we have a we've been inspired by another site, by ain'titcool.com. Well, let's just go ahead and play the sound bite, and then we'll talk about what we're talking about.
I'll buy that for a dollar.
Or how much I'm willing to pay for a theatrical experience that I like. Whatever. So Ain'titcool put up an article that apparently there is a group that has decided that they are going to make 50 theaters throughout the country. Not big news, but the big news is that they are like targeting the high end people. It's like Ocean's 13 opening the bank casino. It's for the whales, which that's the only way I can think of it. They're charging $35 a ticket.
God, man.
Now what you get a full service menu and all that stuff, which of course you get to pay extra for. The seats will have reclining, will recline and have footrests and all that fun stuff, and people full wine bar and all that fun stuff, and absolutely complete digital projection for 2D and 3D in every single screen. None of it equals $35 for me.
Yeah, I mean, even if it's an awesome experience, that's a little bit overboard, in my opinion.
It is. Apparently, this is based off of a chain in Australia that does something very similar. And for the big event movies, like for the last two Lord of the Rings movies, the theaters were booked out for like a month or two ahead of time. Which for a giant event film, I guess I could... No. I still can't buy it. I don't know. What do you think about this, Chris?
Well, it brings up a good question that people are now demanding better than what they've been given. I certainly am not, you know... I'm not a complaining consumer. I don't, you know, I know people decry the demise of the modern cinema, and people are waiting for DVD, and the windows are getting closer and closer. So what are, you know, theaters doing to try and keep that business inside there? You know, I don't know what the possible answer could be. I think people are going to either stay or go regardless. And, you know, if they got a premium product and, you know, it's a way to get more butts in the seats, you know, more power to them. I don't think, you know, history or at least time is just going to, you know, people are just going to opt to stay home, and there's nothing anybody can do to try to get people to go.
I absolutely agree. And part of it is you have to have better content. You know, it doesn't matter if it's an awesome theater. I'm just not going to go see a superhero movie for $35.
You don't want to eat spaghetti and go watch Alvin and the Chipmunks? Come on.
Oh, especially after he drops the meatball in the trailer? Oh. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You set me up for that one. I thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I don't know. A few years ago, I was out in L.A. and took a behind-the-scenes tour of Man's Chinese. And they have some theaters where you could pay like an extra $5. You get your own private entrance. You actually sit up in the balcony in like wide, like super wide business class, like leather chairs. All the popcorn and soda have free refills. Like all this stuff you don't get. For $5, I could almost roll with that.
That would be enough to at least get me in the door, you know, but for $35.
But again, the movie that was showing, Poseidon. My uncle is like, I would so do this, but not for that movie.
Enough said.
So it kind of brings about, you know, every once in a while we do these shows where we get to complain about the movie going experience. Instead of just whining and bitching, I figured it might be good if we actually try to be a little constructive here.
All
right. In a way, I think the theaters have been getting more than enough money because they get their take off of the box office, all that fun stuff. They've introduced doing the commercials and all this crap before the movie where they're making more money off that. And it feels like the movie-going experience is worse.
I would absolutely agree. It's pretty annoying when you have to actually sit through, you know, a good five minutes of commercials that I didn't opt to pay for. So it's. I think maybe they're just, you know, cutting their nose to spite their face. I mean, subconsciously is that making me think, well, maybe I don't want to go to the movies because I'm tired of getting pitched to. I mean, I'm paying my money and here I am. It's a big commercial, you know.
It's very possible. Yeah. Right. The one thing I can say in their favor is at least they finally wised up enough to get the commercials out of the way before the actual start time of the movie.
True.
So if you're sitting there, who cares if you're talking, whatever, because the movie technically hasn't started. Once the trailers start, I want people to shut up. But
absolutely.
you know, in that respect, I can almost live with it. At the same time, I will bring up my shining example personally at the Arclight Theater in L.A. For an evening ticket, it's like $14 to go see an evening film. First of all, you can buy your seat, like your individual seat in the theater. You know you want to sit, you buy your ticket. So you don't have to get there an hour early to get a good seat.
That's cool.
For that same money, I went and saw Bug with Alex over at FirstShowing.net, and the armrests were literally about 6 to 8 inches wide. So you could both, two people could put their arm on an armrest, and you don't have to like feel like you're getting a little too close.
So you and I could sit next to each other and be just fine. All right.
Exactly, exactly. Instead of leaning the exact opposite direction. Yeah. All right. So you get all this stuff, and they have ushers who will not let you in the theater if you get there 10 minutes after start time.
Wow.
They will tell people to shut up. All this for $14. Going locally, I think an evening ticket for us is, what, like $9.50 at the most? $8?
Yeah, ticket alone.
So yeah. I ran a few numbers. This is anywhere, this is applicable anywhere. If they were to bump the prices by $1 a ticket, which I think is personal, perfectly reasonable for anybody.
Oh, absolutely.
To pay an extra dollar. Figuring most, I think the smallest theater at our local Cinemark is 250 seats. Figuring that each one on average only has 100 seats, even the big theaters, everything, gives you $100 per screening. So for each screening, I figured out you could spend $35 and pay some 18-year-old kid to sit there and be the hall monitor and tell people to be quiet or escort them out, which breaks down to, what, like $17 an hour? That's
not bad.
Not bad for your average two-hour movie. Then you also have $65 to have a projectionist sit at the movie the entire time and make sure it doesn't look like crap, which you used to get for free.
Yeah.
I'm like, for those two things, I would pay an extra dollar. I'd pay an extra two. Two might be pushing it, but I mean, especially when you figure out the numbers that you can do for just a dollar.
Yeah. They may end up, by pushing that extra dollar, though, losing half their crowd, you know? People who are already on the verge of going straight to just watching movies on DVD may be pushed over the edge, just as I'm guessing they probably will with a $35 ticket.
But for that dollar, if you actually have something to be shown for it, you're saying, here's the guy who's standing here.
Then they'd have to make it absolutely known. But yeah, you've got a very good point there.
I don't know. I mean, what do you think about it, Chris?
I'm not sure. I know everyone's talked about it. I know it's just a topic that people are trying to wrestle with. Certainly from a business standpoint, you know, you wonder what really will help the theater, you know, theater business out a little bit more. And I haven't really come to any good conclusions. Is it, you know, really, is it to make sure that the experience is good? Is it, you know, giving people amenities for, you know, like you said, for, you know, extra money to be able to, you know, get premium seating? Is that really an answer? And I still am not sure. I'm just kind of dumbfounded by saying, you know, I have no good answer by saying, you know what, this is what would work and this is what needs to happen.
Absolutely.
Because I just don't know what's driving people, you know, away from the theater in large numbers.
Well, and a lot of it is, I mean, you can't discount the DVD experience. The fact is now, studios look at what they're making the theater as gravy. They know they're going to make their money on DVD.
Absolutely.
And especially, I mean, myself, personally, I haven't gone to HD yet, but I have a 6.1 surround sound sitting in my basement. That's going to sound better than, or just as good than, as most of the theatrical experiences.
And no crying babies behind you.
Yeah, or people kicking you, or people texting the entire movie, or, you know, anything like that.
Haven't experienced that.
No, not at all. You know, so, I mean, there's definitely something to be said for watching the movie at home, and I'm a huge proponent for DVD. I think there's something to be said for seeing it on the big screen. But at the end of the day, I don't know. I mean, is this something where we're going to end up seeing the theater as a special event type thing? Or I don't know. Is the theater just going to die, do you think, at some point?
If we lose that altogether, I'm going to cry.
No, I don't think so. I think it's like newspapers. It's never going to go away entirely. It's a communal, you know, if you want to look at it from a sociological point of view, it's a way for people to come together, to spend time with one another, to actually go out. It's one of those things I don't think will ever go away. It might diminish somewhat, I look at other places and see what they're doing, and you know, a good case in point is there's a theater by my home that serves. It's called Farelli's Supper Club, and they actually serve dinner and beverages and liquor and what have you with you know, with first run movies. So, you know, a few weeks ago, actually a couple months ago, my wife and I went to go see the Bourne Supremacy. You know, we had beers and dinner and, you know, dessert, and it was a great experience, quote unquote. And if that's what we're talking about, what's going to people to come back, you know, that's a great example of what you know, sort of helped me as evolve as a theater goer, is finding out what brings me back even more. And I think it's just maybe having different kinds of choices, you know, to how I want to experience my movies.
Absolutely. I think the dinner theater experience, that's the way I'll call it, is going to take off in a big way. Like the Alamo Draft House in Austin is famous for doing that kind of stuff. And I think, I'm hoping we see a lot more of that, because, you know, that's something where I wouldn't mind paying a little bit extra for the ticket just to have that full experience.
Hey, even by my place, we've got even a cheaper one called the Cinema Grill, and, you know, it's the same exact experience, but it's great.
Very cool. I don't know. I mean, you touched on the social aspect, and I can't agree with you more. I know Nate will agree with me. There's no way to watch Grindhouse except in a packed theater.
Oh, absolutely.
Or even if you have 15 other people in the theater. I mean, the fact that everyone has a good time, when you have that kind of experience, there is nothing like that at home, because it's hard to get everyone to come over to your house to do your thing. I mean, I know this summer I'm going to try to do some stuff where I'm projecting movies onto the back of my house, and we're going to watch some movies in the backyard, but even then, it's hard to do that kind of stuff. Whereas in this case, it gives you the opportunity to just go experience a movie with other people.
Yeah.
Right. So. And especially for movies like Batman and all these, you know, really sort of loud, you know, obnoxious films that come out in the summer. I don't want to wait until November and December. I mean, somehow, some way, I will go to a theater and I will go and see these films. You know, I don't want to wait for a small screen. I mean, there's a reason why movies have been around for as long as they have, because they are physically, you know, larger than life.
Absolutely.
And, for people such as myself, you know, we have 6-inch TVs. It is nice
being able to
actually see a movie shown correctly.
Yeah, and I was going to ask you, like, as a college student with, you know, even more limited resources, I mean, what determines where you're going to see a movie or how you're going to see it?
Well, okay, it hurts that I'm a film student, because I will see anything. But
yeah, you haven't watched In the Name of the King.
Sadly, price is going right now. I don't care if I'm sitting in a bad seat. I kind of just want to see the film. But when I actually have money, yeah, it is nice going in and getting the full experience. No nuances, I guess, around, and just having to be a good time.
Gotcha. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, what changes would you like to see in the theater, Chris? I mean, I outlined my two big ones. Someone to tell people to shut up or get out, which I will admit, our theater locally, the Cinemark, management's really good about it. We've had some disruptive people, and they've, like, brought cops in and said, all right, you need to leave now, which is awesome. But between that and a clear projection, I can't think of much else. Is there anything else that you'd be looking to hopefully get outside of, like, doing the dinner theater experience?
Beer.
Fair enough.
Period. I think that would be absolutely. I think one of those things that it speaks to is that I want to be able to, you know, I don't know, maybe not make it feel like such a theater kind of experience. Maybe I you know, I'll take the point that, you know, I'm a, you know, married man with two kids at home, that I can't spend, you know, all that much time, and, you know, maybe I need to double up on my activities. I need to eat dinner, plus I need to see a movie. You know,
can triple up with, like, hanging out with the guys or something too, and then grabbing a beer. Hey,
yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, I can't see how maybe, you know, kind of dabbling in both those kinds of arenas of, you know, me being able to, you know, choose what I want to do as I watch a film. You know, maybe that's what's gonna keep me going. But, you know, like you said, I mean, we're all kind of film nerds, and we'll all go see films regardless of whether, you know, beer is served or it's going to be, you know, flat Pepsi. I mean, we're all going to see the film, but I think if we had our druthers, you know, it'd be these minor kind of tweaks, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And this is all meant as, you know, constructive stuff. I mean, I personally would love to see the dinner theater experience come more around here. Closest we think is we have a local little art house that has a small bar and smells like feet. Saw Scanner Darkly down there, loved it, had a great experience, but although I guess we're getting a new Cinemark out here, so hopefully they'll do something with
that.
I don't know.
There you go.
That'd be cool.
And what's the chain that Mark Cuban does?
Is that
the indie one?
Landmark?
Landmark. Is that? We just had a huge Landmark open up in Denver that when we go for Starfest, I think we're gonna go check out a movie up there at some point too. And because they apparently it's like $12, but you get like a soda and a drink with it too. I mean, a soda and popcorn too.
Right on.
So yeah.
Well, now he's another one you got to keep on your radar too. He's actually been toying with the same day and date of theatrical release
with DVD.
Yeah, I've seen a couple. He's toyed with a couple small films. One of the better films I saw last year, which didn't get a lot of play, and I'm drawing a blank on Weirdsville.
Okay.
That came out. It was a brilliant film, and it played at Landmark, same day and date, and it came out on DVD, I think, shortly thereafter. So I like that kind of experimentation. I mean, I don't think I would ever have seen Weirdsville had it not come on my DirecTV.
Okay.
I was just sitting around, all of a sudden it was like a theatrical movie, and I thought at first it was a scam or something, but Cuban's gone out there and he's actually, shaking things up a little bit. So I like that. I definitely do.
Yeah, I like how I think Soderbergh did it with Bubble as well, didn't he?
Bubble. Right. Yeah, he did.
Yes.
Yeah, and the new Demi Moore Michael Caine film, Flawless, I believe, is gonna be the same thing.
Really?
Yeah.
That's getting a little more high profile.
Yeah, it is. That is. So it's like those kinds of things. And it's like, even though I'm a film geek at heart, sometimes I just literally will not have that block of time for like weeks on end where I can go see a film. And God love them that somebody thought enough to say that if you want to turn on your DirecTV and actually, watch it at home, that's an option for you. So I think it's about choice and about options.
Very true. Very true. I don't think the theater's going anywhere. It's just going to be very interesting to see how it morphs. And what it turns into and what services they're going to, are going to bring into it. I think going the dinner route and the full first service food and stuff is about as far as you can go without disrupting the theatrical experience of it.
Of course.
So,
of course.
Interesting stuff. If anyone else has any comments, by all means, shoot us an email, podcast@screengeeks.com. I'd love to hear what other people think about it. Post in the thread and post in the post where I put up the show and all that fun stuff. But let's go ahead and move on to what's coming out. Was it this Friday? Yes. Is there something good? Oh, there's actually some interesting stuff. We've got Leatherheads with George Clooney returning. It looks like he's returning to like, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
A little bit. I think it looks good, though. I'm intrigued.
Yes, and then Nim's Island, which you knew way more about than I did, Nate.
I just saw a movie poster for it. That's all. It had, Jodie Foster and, a couple of interesting people. It was
Gerard Butler.
Yeah, Gerard Butler, that was the other big name.
And Abigail Breslin.
Abigail Breslin. It was another Walden media thing. It was interesting, though.
Well, he's got to do something after P.S. I Love You.
I'm just saying. Oh, my God.
Yeah, and then the glory that is The Ruins.
Oh, God.
We'll just leave that one alone. And then in limited release, we've got My Blueberry Nights, the new Wong Kar-wai film, which has been getting iffy word, but I still kind of want to see it. And then Shine a Light, the Scorsese film, concert film of the Rolling Stones, which we were talking, Barry and I talked about rather mistakenly before, making religious connotations. Yeah, no, not so much. So, yeah, I'm thinking Leatherheads is really the one that's
the must-see.
Yeah. I don't know. What about you, Chris?
I think Nim's Island is going to be the one I will be seeing, unfortunately, if I have no choice in the matter, with a girl who's 4 years old at home. Yeah,
is it going to be worse than The Golden Compass?
You know what?
Did you like
the
it?
I didn't see The Golden Compass. I didn't take. Okay. I thought it was a little bit too intense. I would think it'd be too intense. But Walden Media or Walden Films anyway. That powerhouse of a studio that's churning out the Water Horse or whatever the hell that movie was.
Water Horse and Narnia.
They've really been hit or miss. I mean, they had Lassie come out, I think, a couple years ago, a year and a half ago. And it was okay, I think, as a, I didn't want to kill myself too bad while I was watching it. But I think I'd actually really would probably enjoy having to sit through Nim's Island. I wouldn't physically want to go see it myself, but if I was forced to go to one of these films, I mean, Jodie Foster, Abigail Breslin, Gerard Butler, I mean, how bad really could it be?
This is very acting. True. And I think they've been doing, I don't know, I mean, Lion, Witch of the Wardrobe, take what you will, but Prince Caspian looks freaking amazing.
Oh my God, it looks so epic.
So yeah, I'm hoping it's good. And all right, let's go ahead and talk about DVDs. The one movie that you haven't seen this yet, have you? There Will Be Blood.
I really want to, though. Daniel Day-Lewis just looks incredible.
Yeah, the one and two disc is coming out for that. The Water Horse, speaking of which, we got a two disc of that. And then, yes, as a specific shout-out, I put this in just for the Geek Radio Daily guys. We have the first season of Matlock, just because you got to love you some Andy Griffith as an elderly Atlanta attorney. Yeah. Okay. We have the one disc and two disc of Walk Hard, the Dewey Cox story, which, yeah. Did you see this, Chris?
I didn't. I avoided it. It really looked like one of those films that I would be much rather. I'd probably going to see it on DVD. So yeah. It was one of those. I'm like, I'm going to wait.
Yeah, I know. I've heard it's a great takeoff on like the musical biopic, but still, I don't know how far you can take that joke.
I like dumb movies.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah,
nothing wrong with that.
You know, everyone just gotta like them. And then we've got Barry's one of his favorite movies of last year, Lions for Lambs, will be coming out. One of my curiosities I didn't get the chance to see last week is Resurrecting the Champ, which I agree with Nate. The first half of the trailer looks awesome, and then it turns into a thriller out of nowhere. Yeah. But I'll still see it.
Maybe.
And then for those of the old school set, we have the 20th anniversary edition of The Adventures of Baron Munchausen. One of the odd movies.
What is that movie all about, man? I've never seen that. What?
I've seen it, and I can't even tell you. Like, dude tells stories about his adventures, and they're so out there. They're obviously made up. And yeah, it's out there. It's a fun movie, but it's definitely out there.
Who did it? Do you know?
Was it Gilliam?
I was just gonna toss Gilliam out there.
I don't know. Yeah, Gilliam did direct it, and Gilliam. God bless IMDb. I'll say it from here to eternity. I love being able to pause the show and do this, but yeah, it is. It feels like a Gilliam movie.
Wow, Sarah Pauli and Uma Thurman in the same film.
Oh yeah. Oh, you got more people. Jonathan Pryce, who's in a lot of his movies. Bill Patterson. I think Robin Williams is in it ever so briefly as like the King of the Moon or something. Hang on, let me once again. Yes, the King of the Moon. Yes, Sting's in it.
Oh God!
I will tell you this. I think a lot of what my present like sort of obsession with film got started with a Gilliam picture called Time Bandits.
Yeah,
I watched that.
It warped my little 8-year-old, 10-year-old brain really bad, and I've never recovered.
That movie was so good.
It's just brilliant. I think the guy's just got a twisted sensibility, and it really works well in movies. And this, that alone, now I know it's a Terry Gilliam, I'm going to actually go see that.
Off topic, though, how'd you think of Tideland?
You know, he can be a hit or miss kind of guy.
Absolutely.
Yes, Brazil's definitely a hit.
Still haven't seen that one yet.
But. Yeah, you bought it. I was there when
I know. I'm going to watch it.
Yeah, you are.
Was it The Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus? I cannot wait. Oh, my God.
Yes, that's going to be interesting. We've got two releases left to talk about. We've got the remake of Day of the Dead featuring a small portion of Ving Rhames. Why did they remake this movie?
I don't know.
I'm so sick of everything of the dead at this point. I'm tired. I'm really just tired.
Although I will see World War Z. I'm sorry.
World War Z?
Yeah. People are calling it like a zombie version of Children of Men.
Wow.
So yeah, I need to read the book. I've heard it's amazing. And then finally, were you much of an arcade gamer at all, Chris, back in the day?
Yes.
On coming to Blu-ray, Space Ace.
Oh my. Oh, wow. Was this really necessary?
Probably not, but if I had HD, I would be getting it. Absolutely.
Wow. Space Ace. Are they making it? Is it a film or is it a game?
No, I think they're going to make it the game version. I'm guessing I'll probably be able to watch it as well. But if they take it like straight from the cells, I think this could look amazing.
It could actually. I sucked at that. I always died. I could never time it right. I was always wasting quarters in that stupid game.
But still, it was fun to watch how the different ways your guy died.
Of course. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. What was the first one he did? Not the Space Ace, but the one with the
Dragon's Lair.
Dragon's Lair.
Dirk the Daring. Yes. Oh, yes. Dirk the Daring. It's And Dragon's Lair 2 is good, too. And right now, Nate's just going, what in the hell are you talking about?
I wasn't born.
Fair enough.
Damn you, time.
Yeah. Especially when you're a movie guy. Oh, I'm going to catch up for lost time. You're like, it's never going to happen.
Seriously. It sucks.
Yes.
Yeah, the 80s was a funky time for film.
Yeah, I experienced 3 whole years of them.
Oh, God.
Yeah, you feel old now?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah. I'm there with you. So, okay, let's wrap this bad boy up. If you want to shoot us an email, by all means, as I mentioned earlier, shoot us an email over at podcast@screengeeks.com. You can also email Dave, Barry, Ethan, Josh. Nate's going to start writing a few reviews for us here and there, too.
Absolutely.
So, but he doesn't have email yet. Everyone else, you can email at screengeeks.com. Him? No, not so much. But, yeah, thank you so much for coming on, guys.
Yeah, Nate, absolutely.
Pleasure.
Yes, Chris, have you got any big interviews or anything coming up? Anything you need to pimp or want to pimp?
I do. I have a slew of ones coming out. I've just been sort of backlogged of interviews coming up. Dickie Barrett of the Mighty Mighty Bosstones, they just released a new album, so I'm going to be talking to him.
That's cool.
The Kids in the Hall are going on tour, and so I'm going to try to arrange something with all the five guys. So hopefully, cross my fingers, that'll come to fruition. And, you know, it's summer movie season, so now I've got some lines on some people from Speed Racer and from The Dark Knight.
Okay, so I have to ask. I ask everyone, Speed Racer, what do you think?
It looks like visual vomit. If I could be perfectly frank, and I am.
I'm guessing that's not going to go in the trailers or the commercial.
After you ate the entire box of crayons.
Honestly, it looks like somebody was having a seizure, and the Wachowskis were there with a camera, and they're probably just screaming, "What does it look like? What does it look like? Tell us. What does it feel like to be having a seizure right now?" And they just put that right on the screen. I mean, how could you not look into that trailer, go into some kind of fit of some kind?
Fair enough.
But I'll probably go see it.
Really?
The loser that I am, I'm probably going to go see it.
The Wall for Kids.
Wow. That's one that, there you go. That's how they should market it.
Absolutely.
Get your child stoned.
It's a good marketing scheme.
Wow.
Have them do that. You know, there should be a bat outside the door so the kids have to put their forehead on it and go around it like 20 times and then shove them into the theater.
Wow. See, this is why we miss having you on the show, Chris. Oh, good God. It's too bad we don't have any fun or anything. But we will definitely get you back on at bare minimum for when we do the we'll probably do like a trailer review of the year. And since you like have seen way more than we have, probably. Yeah.
Oh, good. Yeah. Heck yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. And then whatever else we can rope you into. So, yes. Cool. Sweet. Well, sweet. All right. Well, let's go ahead and wrap this. We'll kick it. Just end it. All right. Until next week, this is Dave and
this is Nate.
It's Chris.
Cool. Take it easy.